from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Purdy back to pass with Todd, throws down the middle, intercepted in the end zone, picked off by Hamilton, running back to about the 8th, and he's tackled by Kyle Juszczyk. Brock Purdy with a red zone turnover.
Christmas night passed in San Francisco, or Santa Clara, technically, as Kyle Hamilton picked that one off national TV as the Ravens beat up on the San Francisco 49ers on their way to 13 regular season wins and eventually a trip to the AFC Championship game. 49ers did make it to the Super Bowl, to their credit, but one of the standouts for that Ravens defense at 23 just got that pick, and that is Kyle Hamilton, Vinny, entering year number 3.
Yeah, we'll start with the safeties then with Hamilton. Hamilton played 15 games last year at 81 tackles, 3 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, 13 pass defense, 4 interceptions, and 1 forced fumble. And he had a phenomenal year. Phenomenal. And he's even going to be better this year, too. Because they'll move him around. Because I think last year they just kind of learned about, you know, his strengths and where he needed to line up, where he was effective lining up, because we saw him everywhere. We saw him, you know, deep at safety. We saw him in the slot, lining up over the slot. We saw him blitzing, saw him rushing the passer. He is their most natural pass rusher because he's got the most natural pass rusher moves. He uses his hands and stuff extremely well rushing the passer, you know, when he takes on backs and stuff. So Hamilton, you know, I mean, he made the Pro Bowl. He's first team Pro Bowl last year. So, he is a stud that he's their Gunnar Henderson.
He did have surgery, though, was the elbow.
He had some chips in his elbow.
But nothing severe enough to make us worry about the next couple of weeks.
He looked like he was glad he wasn't at minicamp sitting out there.
There you go.
Now, the other safety, Marcus Williams, he played 11 games, had 55 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 8 pass defense, 1 interception. Now, that's going to be the issue there. I mean, Bob, if he can play 17 games, the Ravens could have 2 Pro Bowl safeties. I mean, that's how good Marcus Williams is. With the year that they got him, started out the year 4 interceptions, in the first 4 games. I mean, he was dominant as a player. He looked damn good at the minicamp. He looked really – Hamilton wasn't out there. I mean, he was kind of running things in charge of everything. He was in total control. He looked really good. So, I mean, if they can have a healthy Marcus Williams and a healthy Kyle Hamilton, the best safety tandem in the league, by far. Because The biggest thing was, you know, we're going to talk, the next guy I'm going to talk about is third safety, and what they're losing there is Stone, Geno Stone. He gave him 17 games, 68 tackles, 9 pass defense, and 7 interceptions. Now, where do you get that from? Well, hopefully we get some of that from Marcus Williams being healthy for 17 games. And, I mean, Marcus Williams had 55 tackles playing with one arm. I mean, that's the kind of thing. And you keep, you know, you've talked about the Henry one where he couldn't tackle him.
Yeah, he's let's go for a ride.
Yeah. But so the guy who would be in there now would be Adarius Washington, who played in 2 games, 11 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass defense. The only thing I didn't like watching Adarius Washington at the mini camp, he's about 5'9". You know, and the tight ends, you know, I mean, Bobby, he could have great covers, but they just reach up and he's just swatting their butt. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing that I noticed there was, I mean, Mark Andrews, and they wore him out. Just because 6'5 versus 5'8, he's going to lose.
He's a little guy.
Yeah. And I just think they need to get a bigger guy. That's why I keep talking about Tampa, you know, the rookie kid out of Iowa State, TJ. Because he's got the ball skills, and he's 6'1", and he's a physical guy. You know, Jonas says, you know, he was nervous about him, you know, playing a deep guy. But the thing is when they put the pads on and Tampa can jam at the line of scrimmage, that's going to be his game. All right, so we looked at the safeties, and we've got we got 2 great ones, and then we've got question as a third one. And they're probably going to have to upgrade there. We'll see. Now, at the corner position, Brandon Stevens, last year, 16 games, 74 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 11 pass defense, 2 interceptions. Thought he had a hell of a year. He became the number one corner, does a really, really nice job in press coverage, trailing the guy and stuff. A lot of times, though, is, you know, I think one of the reasons for the 74 tackles is he'll be in great coverage, but guys catch it. And then he tackles them. He did get better and off coverage with his pedal plant drive, I thought. Became a little bit more natural. And I would think with his confidence, with his success that he had last season, I think Stevens will be even better this year. And I thought he looked good at the mini camp. And when Kansas City plays this year, they're going to go after the other side. They're not going after Stevens initially. Now, the other corner, Marlon Humphrey, 10 games, 26 tackles. 1 tackle for loss, 5 pass defense, 1 interception. Marlon has got he can't play like he played last year. I mean, he took basically all spring off, hasn't been to practice and didn't do anything there. So, you know, what did he say? He was like basketball players having
load management.
Yeah. Well, his load management, I saw one play where he was lined up against Bateman, and Bateman ran right by him, and he couldn't catch him, and he caught a touchdown pass.
Yikes.
So Marlon has got to recoup what he was a couple years ago. Normally, I mean, but he's still young.
27.
Yeah, he's still 27 years old.
Turns 28 in 3 days, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to get healthy and then stay healthy. That's going to be the big thing. And then the other corner, Bob, because nickel, Arthur Millette, he had a hell of a year.
He was bad early, though, right?
He was bad early, but yeah. I think kind of once he got comfortable, he was really good. And he was really good at minicamp. 14 games, 37 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 pass defense, 1 interception. Because they use him like nickel. And they move him around all over. They blitz him. He's involved a lot in attacking. And I think towards the end of the year and stuff, and then at the minicamp, thought he played really good for them. And it was a good signing for them. Now, what are they going to do with the other, you know, like we had talked about with Jonah? Is it going to be Wiggins? Is it going to be Tampa? You know, Armour Davis, he really hadn't stayed healthy. I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's got talent. Can he stay healthy? What's this, year 4 for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he hadn't been healthy in the first three. So that's going to be key for him to stay healthy. Otherwise,
Year three.
Otherwise, Wiggins or Tampa are going to get that opportunity. But, I mean, the secondary to me right now, Bob, I would say safety, awesome. Corners, just don't know about Humphrey because after Humphrey, he basically got rookies.
Defense overall, with additions and obviously the subtractions heading into camp.
I think it's got a chance to be good, Bob. Where's the pressure coming from? I'm okay with Simpson. I think the secondary will be okay. Where are they making up for the sacks? That's going to be the key.
Ravens led the league in sacks last year. Can they duplicate? I would say maybe not, but that's why they play the games. Everybody, speaking of games, they played a lot in the American League East over the week. Got the weekend coming up with a busy schedule. Give you the standings as well. AL East report, and we'll talk about the MLB draft, of 24. Kylie McDaniel, ESPN.com. Who are the top prospects?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles and A's, game 1 of 3, 9:40 tonight, as you just heard during Nolan's update. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tim Barbalace and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. Getting you ready for that one, starting at 6. Remember Mike Bordick, as we talked about earlier today with Mike Bordick. Came up through the Oakland organization. Last time the Birds will be in Oakland is they're going to be, I guess, the Nomad team. bouncing around until they get all that stuff in Vegas all straightened out. But that's their problem. The Orioles trying to handle their business before the Cubs and Yankees come to Camden Yards next week. But the Major League Baseball draft of 24 coming up the week of said All-Star game, which is just a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. And here to talk about some of the top prospects, names to keep an eye on here, Orioles' 22nd pick this season. It's welcome back to the show. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. ESPN.com, it is Kylie McDaniel. Kylie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Before we get to the draft and some of the top players available and the depth of it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, talk about some of the Oriole guys, Jackson Holliday, Samuel Basayo, and Kobe Mayo. Give our listeners an idea of your thoughts on these players heading into the halfway point of 24. Jackson's been here. Wasn't a pleasant experience, as we know, then hurt his elbow. But he had a couple of doubles yesterday. Mayo's just hitting anything thrown his way, 450 feet. And Basayo, he's been doing some all-star stuff, a futures game behind the dish there in Bowie. What do you think of all three of those guys halfway pointed this year?
I get that the sort of, you know, more casual fans or just fans of the big leagues probably think that Holliday is a lesser prospect than he was seen coming into the year. I don't really think he's that different. I mean, he's still a year younger than all of the college guys in this year's draft. And I think he is, you know, relatively seen as big league ready in terms of like what he's done at AAA. You'd think he could do it in the big leagues. He's just there for 10 games. So I don't have him diminished very much in my mind. You hope that he comes up and dominates the league like Paul Skeens did. Obviously a different guy, different situation. Doesn't always happen. It doesn't mean that he's any different of a guy. If he doesn't do it after, you know, 70 games or an entire season, then, you know, maybe we'll revisit. Oh, maybe the upside's a little bit higher. There's a little more risk than we thought. But I wouldn't edit too hard on him. Mayo, it's good to see that he's, you know, come back well from what seemed like a minor injury. I think he probably fits first base, third base, corner outfield, DH. I think he's just sort of a better version of that, you know, Ryan Mountcastle type player. And he might be the guy that comes up and just hits three homers in the first week. Like he's that level of talent that he could be that kind of guy. And Basayo, I think, seemingly can do almost anything given what he was thought to have been when he signed. I think people thought he was a guy with some power that could throw that may or may not be a catcher. And it turns out he is a much better hitter than people thought he would be. And I think he would probably be on the, you know, the glide path to be a guy that has a chance to be a big leaguer next year was, again, like Mayo, like the kind of guy that could come up and just dominate, might take a little while to settle in. Just there's a little bit of variance with that kind of guy that's power over hit. But he is incredibly talented and has sort of answered the bell at every level. And now he's the age of some of the high school guys in this draft, and he's in Double-A and performing well, which is sort of unbelievable.
All right, Kylie, you mentioned Paul Skeens, and, you know, I guess there's not a Paul Skeens-level pitcher in the 2024 draft class, but who right now do you have rated as the top pitching prospect in this year's class?
I got Chase Burns out of Wake Forest, although I think there's still maybe a third of evaluators have Hagen Smith, a lefty out of Arkansas. They're both pretty close. I have them right now fourth and sixth in my rankings. I think they both go somewhere between picks 3 and, say, 8 in the mock draft. They both have a chance to be frontline pitchers. I think probably more likely more of a number two than like a true ace. Burns is maybe the easier sort to appreciate. I think his game is a little more adaptable to the big league level, sort of learning new pitches. I think his command is actually a little bit better. He's one of those righties. There's some things in common with Skeens. Big, strong dude, sits close to 100, has a really good slider, also mixes in a curveball and changeup he doesn't really need very much in college. Tons of strikeouts, lots of power, a little bit of that sort of, you know, recoil leg kick at the end that makes you think reliever, and then you look at where he throws his pitches, and they're actually in pretty good locations. So I think he's probably in that more Jack Leiter tier of, I think this is going to work, than the Paul Skeens, like, holy cow, we've never seen this before tier. Right. But he's somewhere in that conversation, which I think can get fans excited, especially from a team that needs some pitching.
Kylie McDaniel, ESPN.com, talking MLB Draft 2024, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Kylie, who is the top high school prospect in this year's draft?
Again, there's two guys that are kind of a coin flip. I've got Bryce Rayner, 6'3", left-hand hitting shortstop out of Harvard-Westlake High School. If you're, you know, a big fan, you may know that that was the school that had Max Fried, Lucas Giolito, and Jack Flaherty in the same high school rotation, which seems kind of unfair. It's one of the very expensive, fancy rich schools in L.A. where, you know, I remember the guy that found that created Lost. His son was in the rotation for that team a couple years later. A lot of, you know, important people going through there. But Bryce has been a guy that's been in the mid-90s on the mound. and has shown big power and can play shortstop since he was a freshman sophomore in high school. Like, he has been marked for a long time. Kind of looks like Corey Seager, but is not quite as, like, physically large, as to have, like, those broad shoulders. People didn't think Corey Seager could play high school, didn't think they could play shortstop in the big leagues at all when he was in high school, and he figured it out. Rainer's much better defensively, also might be able to hit 30 home runs from the left side. So he's the guy that I think is the best, but he'll go into the same range as Connor Griffin, who, if you want to imagine what he looks like, he's a right-handed hitting shortstop out of Mississippi that also is like a top two-round pitcher. He kind of looks like Fernando Tatis Jr. I talked to him last week and asked him who people tell him he reminds them of, and he said Bobby Witt Jr. and Ronald Acuna. So incredibly talented, but people aren't positive he'll hit. Bryce Rainer, a little better chance to hit, so he goes just ahead of Griffin in my mind.
Kylie, what's the depth of this draft?
There are a lot of college hitters all through the first round. The high school class after those two hitters and then maybe one or two pitchers, there might not be another high school player that definitely goes in the top 20, 25 picks. Whereas last year, I think we had 16 high school hitters go in the first like 35 picks. Like, it was really deep. And a lot of those guys have already broken through to be top 100 prospects in baseball just a year later. This year, there's just a handful of those guys. The college pitching, I mentioned the two guys at the top. There's maybe one more, again, that is guaranteed to go in the top 20 to 25 picks. So at the top, I would say it is college hitters. There might be 15 of them in the first 2022 picks. And then as you get into sort of the comp round, second round, it continues to be deep. There's just going to be a lot of these guys. And I think because there is depth as you get down into that second, third round area in the high school class, I think you're going to see a lot of teams for the first two rounds race to get to those first two rounds worth of college guys, get them for slot or below, save some money, take their overage, all that kind of stuff, and then go spend it on whichever high school guys are left over in the third or fourth round where there's a little less competition. Any one high school player might only have three or four teams on them because there's a lot of disagreement. Obviously, the earlier you go in someone's development, when somebody's 17, every team doesn't agree about exactly what that guy's going to be. When they're 21 playing in the SEC, everybody kind of agrees on what those guys are, and they also don't have the leverage to go back to school, so they'll kind of take what they're offered.
When do you see the O's going for a pitcher?
It's a good question. I think historically it's usually been, what, around the fourth or fifth round they start thinking about it? Still might not do it right away. I think this draft, again, the board is giving them, they're picking at, let's see, it's 22 and 32. The board is giving them college hitters with, you know, a couple options that aren't college hitters, but, you know, basically half the guys they're considering at both of those picks will be college hitters. I think they're going to continue to go hitter, especially because that's what the board's giving them, but I think that's also the kind of guys they look for. I would guess, we'll say the fourth round, I think, will be the fourth pitcher, the first pitcher they take, I think, will be in the fourth round.
Kylie McDaniel, ESPN.com. Kylie, last thing for you. Tell our listeners about maybe the most intriguing prospect in this draft, Jurangelo, and if I'm mispronouncing his last name, I apologize, Sanjay?
I've heard Sanja, a couple different variations that are very close to that. So he was a guy I've seen going back to sophomore, junior year of high school. It was a little bit of a sideshow then that he was a switch pitcher. He was better right-handed, depending on, you know, what stage of high school you're talking about. He'd run it up to 92, 93 with a pretty good slider from the right side. And then he also could pitch more like lower slot left-handed specialist kind of guy, you know, 85, 88. And so because he was older for the class and he also played shortstop, and was a little bit of a later bloomer, the league sort of let him go to Mississippi State. This year, it like all kind of clicked, which makes sense that given all the different things he does, it would take a little bit longer. He might have three plus pitches bordering on plus plus from the right side. He kind of stopped throwing left-handed to simplify things, and he's just okay left-handed. It's like a guy you would draft, maybe even big league quality. But there's been a bunch of different theories about how to use him. Do you let him throw an entire game right-handed and then use him as a left-handed matchup guy the next day? Do you have him face just one guy left-handed the whole game and do it three or four times? It's almost like the idea of the knuckleballer that they could basically throw two innings every day the entire season. Like, it sort of opens up those possibilities of what he could do. But he's like a mid-first round talent as a right-handed pitcher that might, you know, a year from now look like he would be a bargain at right around where the Orioles are drafting. And I think he's like one of the few pitchers I think they're kind of kicking the tires on at that first pick.
It's insane that he, to borrow a word from Mike Tyson, he's amphibious, if you know what I'm saying. But I'm left-handed, Kylie, full disclosure. And if I tried to throw a tennis ball with my right hand, it would look like it was a medicine ball. You know what I mean? This guy's bringing it 85, 90 plus with both hands. So Orioles at 22, what do you think?
So the guy that I actually ran a mock draft about a week ago passed a high-level scout on another team and showed him what I had for Baltimore, and he goes, I quit if they end up getting that guy. And I'm like, why? He's like, because the Orioles are perfect at – that's exactly the guy they should want. That fits who they've taken in the past. It's all the kind of guys that they end up developing well. And then I, you know, sort of called around. It turns out Baltimore definitely is interested in this guy. His name is Carson Benge, a center fielder at Oklahoma State. There's a little swing flaw that I think most teams think that there's a chance to unlock a little bit more in there. There's a chance for 20-25 homers. He's a plus runner that can play center field. He's made a lot of contact. And he, like a lot of these guys in this draft, have been up to 95-96 on the mound as like a closer for his college team, but he's not going to be doing that in pro ball. So there's also a theory that there might be a little untapped potential if he fully sort of looks at hitting. In the same way that some of these outfielders we've seen that have really moved quickly through the Orioles farm system. I think he fits in, has a lot of the same traits, not necessarily Gunnar Henderson-level talent, but in terms of just like what sort of talent they have, what they're good at, what they need to work on, there's a certain kind of player Baltimore takes, and he fits that kind of player, and I think they're looking long and hard at him at that first pick.
Kylie McDaniel, ESPN.com. Kylie, we appreciate the time as always. Have a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you after the draft.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kylie.
Kylie McDaniel, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. And then it's Baltimore baseball tonight. Tim Barbalace, Mike Borda, getting you ready for the Birds and A's. Game one of a three-game set here on The Fan.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured Artist Friday. It's Heart. It's chosen by you, the people. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by BBT, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 6 o'clock, Orioles A's, start of a three-game set. Tim Barbalace and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for the first matchup there. Quick draw, what are your plans for this weekend?
Still nothing. I'm not in the mood to do anything. I want to sit on the couch all weekend and relax. That's what I got.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I just looked at the weather for Glen Burnie, which I'm about to head into. It's 97, but with the heat index, feels like 107. I'm going to be swimming in my little Timu inflatable pool like it's an Olympic-sized pool. I'm just going to lay there like Michael Phelps after I stop by the liquor store, of course. What are you doing, Vinny?
Got nothing, Bob. Nothing planned. Quiet weekend. I'll be like Norm. I'll probably be too hot to go outside. I'll be watching. Hopefully there's some good movies on.
Well, you got the Orioles and A's tonight at 9:40, and then two 4 o'clock games coming up Saturday and Sunday. You got the Wimbledon in the round of 16. Creeping closer to rookies reporting to camp for the Ravens and then the rest of the NFL. As we've said, the preseason opener is a month away, less than a month away from the Hall of Fame game. So the clock just keeps ticking, man, closer to a very exciting, hopefully, summer into the fall season for Baltimore sports fans. But enough of that nonsense, Nolan. Let's get to the fun out.
Quick Draws, Fun House. The Rudeness, Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here, some more thoughts on Mason Miller with the A's, the interest in him. Texter says, electric arm for sure, but anyone who throws that hard and that fast is a ticking time bomb for Tommy John surgery. He already had a UCL scare last year. I'm not unloading the farm for one guy who's going to be out for a year plus at some point in the near future.
I don't necessarily disagree with the texter in that regard, because as we have seen, pitchers drop like flies, except especially these max effort performers. But again, Mike Elias, all you can do is say, hey, A's, what do you want for this Mason Miller guy? And if they say we want Holiday, Kerstad, Mayo, then you go, all right, man, have a great weekend. They can only say no.
Right, he's only in the bullpen this year because of the UCL scare. They, again, view him as a starter long term. This texter here says, nothing more satisfying than seeing the Yankees in free fall. Great timing, too, with another head-to-head series against Baltimore next weekend. O's have a prime opportunity to enter the All-Star break with full control of the division.
Well, let's handle Oakland first, and now you're in this uncomfortable situation where you're going to be rooting for the Red Sox this weekend. We'll see. Boston's playing better baseball than the Yankees right now.
Some more thoughts here on the Orioles drafting. We were just talking about this with Kylie McDaniel. This texter says it'll be interesting to see how Elias and his scouting team continue to perform in the draft now that the team is competitive again. When they first came in, the cupboard was so bare that they just needed any talent they could get their hands on. Now they're so stacked with position players, but kind of out of pitching prospects. I wonder if we do see them go a little more pitching heavy this year and next.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see them start to develop the farm system from within. You know, you have to go over slot with some of these guys, perhaps. But Mike Elias is aware of the dearth of pitching talent that they have. I mean, their top prospects are all guys they've acquired from other organizations. McDermott, Seth Johnson. I mean, Povich is a guy they got from outside the organization. They need to start developing some dudes because Grayson Rodriguez, that was the parting gift from Dan Duquette to you, Mike Elias, as he was chosen in the first round back in 2018.
One last one here. This texter says, a little disappointed that Mountcastle missed out on starting in the All-Star game. I thought he was deserving, but Vlad has that name recognition and conveniently been on a hot streak for the past couple weeks. Mountcastle should still be there along with Westberg and O'Hearn because they were in the final vote. Throw in Burns, throw in Grayson. I count seven All-Stars for the O's.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I don't know if they'll go seven deep. It would be nice because they have a lot of deserving candidates. And I think even Craig Kimbrell deserves a little recognition or at least some consideration for that. Hey, look, it was O'Hearn's homer the other night. Won the game for
O'Hearn gets
it. You talk about a guy, another one of these Mike Elias finds. You know, they tried Fuji there. What makes you more, I don't know, we'll get your piles all itchy. Is it a Flaherty reference, Jack, that is, or a Fuji? Because you heard Kylie mention Jack Flaherty there.
I mean, both are kind of your fabrication. I mean, Fuji's more real. Flaherty, I don't have a serious problem with. But again, that's all a Bob creation. So.
I kind of remember we asked about, would you trade for him again?
No, but that doesn't mean I hate him.
You hate Fuji, though.
I don't hate anybody. Hate's such a strong word.
But you get what we're talking about. No, how about DeMarcus Robinson?
Oh.
Now we push the button. That's going to do it for us. We're done. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. For now, class dismissed.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Pete Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday, it's Heart. It's chosen by you, the people. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by BBT, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 6 o'clock, Orioles A's, start of a 3-game set. Tim Barbalace and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick getting you ready for the first matchup there. Quick draw, what are your plans for this weekend?
Still nothing. I'm not in the mood to do anything. I want to sit on the couch all weekend and relax. That's what I got.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I just looked at the weather for Glen Burnie, which I'm about to head into. It's 97, but with the heat index, feels like 107. I'm going to be swimming in my little Timu inflatable pool like it's an Olympic-sized pool. I'm just going to lay there like Michael Phelps after I stop by the liquor store, of course. What are you doing, Vinny?
I've got nothing, Bob. Nothing planned. Quiet weekend. I'll be like Norm. I'll probably be too hot to go outside. I'll be watching. Hopefully there's some good movies on.
Well, you got the Orioles and A's tonight at 9:40, and then 2 4 o'clock games coming up Saturday and Sunday. You got the Wimbledon in the round of 16. creeping closer to rookies reporting to camp for the Ravens and then the rest of the NFL. As we've said, the preseason opener is a month away, less than a month away from the Hall of Fame game. So the clock just keeps ticking, man, closer to a very exciting, hopefully, summer into the fall season for Baltimore sports fans. But enough of that nonsense, Nolan. Let's get to the fun house.
Quick Draws Fun House. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here, some more thoughts on Mason Miller with the A's, the interest in him. Texter says, electric arm for sure, but anyone who throws that hard and that fast is a ticking time bomb for Tommy John surgery. He already had a UCL scare last year. I'm not unloading the farm for one guy who's going to be out for a year plus at some point in the near future.
I don't necessarily disagree with the texter in that regard, because as we have seen, pitchers drop like flies, especially these max effort performers. But again, Mike Elias, all you can do is say, hey, A's, what do you want for this Mason Miller guy? And if they say, we want Holiday, Kerstad, and Mayo, then you go, all right, man, have a great weekend. They can only say no.
Right. He's only in the bullpen this year because of the UCL scare. They, again, view him as a starter long term. This texter here says, nothing more satisfying than seeing the Yankees in free fall. Great timing, too, with another head-to-head series against Baltimore next weekend. O's have a prime opportunity to enter the All-Star break with full control of the division.
Well, let's handle Oakland first, and now you're in this uncomfortable situation where you're going to be rooting for the Red Sox this weekend. We'll see. Boston's playing better baseball than the Yankees right now.
Some more thoughts here on the Orioles drafting. We were just talking about this with Kylie McDaniel. This texter says it'll be interesting to see how Elias and his scouting team continue to perform in the draft now that the team is competitive again. When they first came in, the cupboard was so bare that they just needed any talent they could get their hands on. Now they're so stacked with position players, but kind of out of pitching prospects. I wonder if we do see them go a little more pitching heavy this year and next.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see them start to develop the farm system from within. You know, you have to go over slot with some of these guys, perhaps. But Mike Elias is aware of the dearth of pitching talent that they have. I mean, their top prospects are all guys they've acquired from other organizations. McDermott, Seth Johnson. I mean, Povich is a guy they got from outside the organization. They need to start developing some dudes, because Grayson Rodriguez, that was the parting gift from Dan Duquette to you, Mike Elias, as he was chosen in the first round back in 2018.
One last one here. This texter says, a little disappointed that Mountcastle missed out on starting in the All-Star game. I thought he was deserving, but Vlad has that name recognition and conveniently been on a hot streak for the past couple weeks. Mountcastle should still be there along with Westberg and O'Hearn because they were in the final vote. Throw in Burns, throw in Grayson. I count seven All-Stars for the O's.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I don't know if they'll go seven deep. It would be nice because they have a lot of deserving candidates. And I think even Craig Kimbrell deserves a little recognition, or at least some consideration for that. Hey, look, it was O'Hearn's homer the other night. Won the game for
O'Hearn gets
it. You talk about a guy, another one of these Mike Elias finds. You know, they tried Fuji there. What makes you more, I don't know, we'll get your piles all itchy. Is it a Flaherty reference, Jack, that is, or a Fuji? Because you heard Kylie mention Jack Flaherty there.
I mean, both are kind of your fabrication. I mean, Fuji's more real. Flaherty, I don't have a serious problem with. But again, that's all a Bob creation. So.
I kind of remember we asked about, would you trade for him again?
No, but that doesn't mean I hate him.
You hate Fuji, though.
I don't hate anybody. Hate's such a strong word.
But you get what we're talking about. No, how about DeMarcus Robinson?
Oh.
Now we push the button. That's going to do it for us. We're done. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Have a great weekend, a safe weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. For now, class dismissed.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.